visited a project in Baringo County that was put together by Cummins Power, which is a subsidiary of a U.S. company called Cummins. It's a commercially viable deal, so it's good for the, you know, the partner, Cummins Power, to come in and invest. The second thing is that the people who live in a community who are already cutting down the trees, what they will do, instead of converting it into charcoal, they will sell it to the power plant. And it's gasified, and then it's turned into steam, and it produces power. We estimate that through this process that they will earn at least four times what they're earning now for the same amount of wood that they're cutting down. So it's very lucrative to them. And actually, it's very lucrative to the villages and to the people of Kenya throughout, because that power that's being produced then goes on to the grid and benefits the local community as well as the national community. So we see it as a win-win-win. And Power Africa is not just about big projects, it is, but also because we're a development agency and our president wants people-to-people contact and helping us lift people out of poverty, we are focusing on smaller communities. So we feel that, you know, this has high replicability in Kenya and other parts of Africa, these small biomass projects that can help immediately supply electricity to communities and then also provide economic opportunities to them by selling the fuel. And as you know, power isn't reliable here, but you've seen the transformational benefits of power. It means that people have access to healthcare because equipment can run. It means that people have access to lighting, and that means that children can learn and read at night. So, and of course, power provides even more opportunity for economic growth. Businesses can operate, and they can produce their products at a very reasonable and competitive price. So we're going to work with Kenyan organizations to help mobilize the communities and organize them in a way that it's a much more reliable process. From my perspective, I see that everyone benefits from this project, and we're really excited to be a partner in it.
What are some of the other projects by Power Africa Initiative that will be started in the next year or so?
I think in Kenya, Kenya's blessed with natural resources. So we're actually working with three developers on wind projects, which together will probably provide about 450 megawatts, Aeolus, Capeto, and also Lake Turkana. There are a lot of technical issues that are required to be resolved when you have intermittent power like wind. And so we're working with Contraco and other Kenyan organizations to help stabilize the grid so that they can take this influx of power from wind. But the other thing that you're blessed with is geothermal resources. And so while I was here, chance to meet, talking about a partnership that we have already with GDC, the Geothermal Development Corporation. We signed that partnership a year ago while I was here. And I wanted to get a sense from this on what was working and what's not working. And what we talked about was a deepening of the partnership. We know that your president has set very ambitious targets for power generation, some 5,000 megawatts. And a lot of that will come through clean energy, geothermal energy. And so we talked with us about ways of moving that forward much more rapidly. And we hope to be able to do that on some of the geothermal fields over the next year in Kenya.
What are the main deterrents to the U.S. and other Western companies that are investing in the African power project?
The situation in Kenya is better than other countries, probably better than the other five Power Africa countries that we've designated. And one is that you've got what we call a creditworthy off-taker. That's the company that buys the power. It has a proven track record. It's never defaulted on any of its loans. It's always made its payments on time. So when you have an off-taker with a reliable credit history, then you've got companies that are coming in and willing to take the risk. The risk is that you come in, make a major investment, and then you've got the off-taker defaulting or not making payment or making late payments. So in Kenya, you've got a good situation because you've got a creditworthy off-taker. But that is probably one of the most the biggest deterrents across Africa. And so what we're trying to do is explore with other development agencies like the African Development Bank ways of shoring up the creditworthiness of the off-takers to include providing partial risk guarantees and other mechanisms. So that's one. Second one that applies across the board is that the rules of the game aren't very clear. Doing PPPs, public-private partnerships. It's a new phenomenon. Kenya has more experience, I think, than other countries. But, you know, it takes a while for the rules of the game to be fully understood and for all the rules to be complied with. So or a lot of investors are waiting to see, you know, how it plays out. We have a saying in the U.S., which I think which definitely applies to Africa and definitely applies to power sector generation, and that is success breeds success. So, you know, once you have one investor coming in, providing a very valuable power to the country, but being able to make a reasonable profit and employing local people, you'll see other investors coming in as well. And we're seeing that in the case of Kenya. And in fact, you know, GE, which is the world's largest manufacturing corporation, a company of $110 billion, has its Africa headquarters based in Nairobi. And we have our Power Africa headquarters based in Nairobi. So we feel that, you know, this is a great place to be. We feel that we're getting a lot of traction on the deals that we've identified, both at the large level as well as smaller ones as well.
Do African countries have to meet certain legal or financial criteria for the U.S. to go in with the Power Africa initiative?
Well, in general, we have, I wouldn't say specific benchmarks, but what we do is we look at the investment climate to see whether or not the country is willing to enter into PPPs, and second, to see whether or not the legal framework allows for them. Third, of course, we have to look and see whether or not private sector would be interested if the investment climate were right. And so we look at it this way. If you can fix the investment climate and all the rules and regulations, then you'll get a lot of private sector investment. So, you know, with those general principles, the way that we're applying our assistance is we're looking at it through transactions or these power projects. And we're putting a lot of emphasis on working with the government and working with the companies to get the deals done. We actually have transactions advisors who are in all the countries who are then helping to work with the government and the private sector to make sure that these deals continue to go forward. What we've found in the past is, for some reason, it could be just bureaucratic impact, you'll see that the deals get stuck. And then the investor gets frustrated, and then he pulls out or she pulls out, and the deal doesn't go through. And so with the transaction advisors working on each of the deals, we'll be able to see in real time where the bottlenecks are, and then through our technical assistance, or just meeting with the government or meeting with the private developer, we hope to be able to fix those bottlenecks. And we feel that this is a proven model, and we already have seen that it's working quite effectively. So, for example, with the Lake Turkana project, 300 megawatts, you know, the World Bank wasn't sure whether it was going to support it. The African Development Bank stepped in. All the investors were lined up. But a critical constraint was on the grid and the grid management. And so we were able very quickly to develop a technical assistance package to come in and work with Contraco to help fix that and help train people and put into place better grid management so that the deal could...
China is helping to build many power and infrastructure projects in Africa, and many with the few financial strings attached. What are the benefits of the methods used by the Power Africa Initiative versus the methods used by China?
I'm not familiar with the way that China operates its power deals. What we do is make sure that there's complete transparency. There's got to be transparency because you've got the private sector involved, you've got donors involved, and you've got the government involved. And so it's very clear that when you've got multiple parties to an agreement, it's very clear on who's going to make what percentage of profit, what the costs are, and how the communities will benefit go through.